This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Could you imagine yourself here in this situation? Cop, suspect, gun, taser, suspect subdued. In this case, in South Carolina, the suspect killed, shot in the back by an officer. The charge, murder. But you can hear the anxiety in the person making this video. Who am I? Am I in trouble here? Are they going to shoot me? Oh my goodness. Is this evidence of a crime? Am I supposed to be doing this? All of those reactions, his fear for himself, for the dying suspect, represent a major turning point in law enforcement in America. Faden Santana said he was walking home from his job when he switched on his phone cam. Years ago, in the famous Rodney King case, the video shooter had to go and find his camera in a box and record a scene that was happening outside his window. Cameras are everywhere today, on police in the form of body cams, in the hands of citizens in the form of cell phone videos and other even smaller recording devices. About a quarter of U.S. police departments are either using body cameras or are starting to implement them. How important is this moment? Joining us is Chuck Wexler, Executive Director of the Police Executive Research Forum. Chuck Wexler, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm just really puzzled by the manifestations here and all the implications of the cameras that are out there. And I'm wondering how you see this as either different or similar to the proliferation of cameras and microphones for all kinds of public people, politicians, celebrities, that sort of thing.
Well, when it comes to the police, cameras have really become very significant. And certainly in the incidents we've seen, you know, in the last week and even over the last few years, and people want accountability, and body cameras have become very significant. So there's really good reasons to have police have body cameras. There's a part of me, though, that also thinks that we really need to somehow preserve the relationship between citizens and police officers. It sort of goes back to Sir Robert Peel talking about the importance of working with the community. So every encounter can't be, excuse me, but you're being recorded. If that happens every time, we're going to lose something here.
Is it your belief, and is it the belief of officers, that every time they're being recorded by someone with a phone cam, that that's some kind of a confrontation?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, look, what the police do is very important, but it should be very public. There should not be anything about what the police do that anyone should have to question. So no, that makes everybody accountable. So no, that shouldn't be a problem. The police should never say to someone, you can't record this. I mean, if they're saying you can't record this, this is a problem with what they're doing.
And what about the arc, if we go from the Rodney King video to the mm-hmm. video in South Carolina?
Right.
It seems to me, as a news reporter who covered all of these stories, that there's been a shift. I mean, I think the Rodney King tape was very difficult to watch. It was hard to understand what the cops were doing. Nevertheless, there was a sense that the presumption of innocence of the cops was kind of the social norm there, except for African Americans, of course, who had a very different view. And we discovered that in the Rodney King, subsequent verdicts, that sort of thing. It seems in South Carolina that the burden has completely shifted, that the assumption is almost that the police were doing something wrong, and had the camera not been there, they would have just gotten away with it.
Well, you raise an important distinction, and it is interesting. It's been 20 years since the Rodney King video, which was a searing image of what the LAPD looked like, and just... You know, it's interesting to just flashing back to what the LAPD looked like 20 years ago and what they are today. I mean, they are from an agency that had significant issues with the African-American community. That police department has really transcended those issues. But the Rodney King image had a visceral impact. There was a part of that story that you wanted to know, well, what would lead up to that. But even having watched just the part that you watched, a lot of the takeaways from a policing standpoint was watching the supervisors stand there and not intervening. And that was one of the major takeaways from that is, you know, responsibility to intervene in situations like that. The North Charleston situation is, I would say, significantly different. There's just no justification for what that police officer did, just absolutely none. And the Rodney King incident, there was no justification for that either. But there was a part you said, well, what would make these officers do that? Was there something that preceded this? But even whatever that was, what they did was absolutely wrong.
Do you think cameras in the hands of citizens help us to better understand what the circumstances are supposed to be when law enforcement encounters a citizen? That there's been a learning process here, not so much a confrontational kind of escalation going on?
When you think about cameras, you think about what is the narrative here? What is the perspective here? And I think one of the reasons that the police have embraced cameras is the recognition that citizens have cameras, and perhaps part of the story, their story, if you will, wasn't being told. So you have a citizen perhaps videotaping something that happened from their perspective at one point in time, but perhaps not seeing what preceded that action. So I think that's part of, you know, if you're trying to tell a story, how do you tell it from the beginning, the middle, to the end? And I think the proliferation of cameras on the part of the police has been somewhat in reaction to the sense that citizens would sometimes film something, perhaps like an arrest situation, and hadn't seen what had led up to it. But still, there's a part of the story that we won't know. What is the background? What led up to this? What are some of the, you know, the other factors that might be important in telling the story?
Would you say that the takeaway ultimately here is that cops should behave as though they're being filmed all the time?
Here's the sad commentary. You should not need cameras to have police officers behave properly. I mean, that they shouldn't have to behave just because someone is looking at them. They should behave well because that's the right thing to do. And I would just add this too. Here's one of the cautionary things I would say about cameras. If we think cameras are the panacea to these issues, I think we'll fall short, because what we really want to think about is, what are the policies? What are the training? What are the tactics? What are the ethics? What are all of these other issues that are involved in making these decisions? We can't simply say, give police cameras and that will by itself change behavior. But if their policies are bad, if their training is bad, and if we're recruiting the wrong people, we're simply going to be recording bad activity.
Chuck Wexler is Executive Director of the Police Executive Research Forum. Thanks so much, Chuck.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.